Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Coming at you live here. Really excited for this morning to be able to help tell you how to create greater freedom and prosperity today, not just in the future. So today we're going to talk about part two. Does God want you to be rich? Definitely, if you haven't tuned in last week, I recommend you do so. There's a lot of foundational principles we talked about, and especially with regards to this topic. And today is going to be really exciting because we're going to get into where there's some false teachings, especially within Western culture, especially within religion and things like that, where there's misinterpretations of how money works with spirituality. So we're going to talk about that today. Before we do, I just want to recommend that you actually go and check out our website at www.moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. Go ahead and check that out and just check out those free resources. There's blogs, there's events, all kinds of things coming up that you can definitely partake and be able to get kind of further your education along and really understand how you can take this to the next level. So definitely recommend you do so. Now, what I want to talk about today is, and I want to review what we talked about last week, just to make sure you get a basic gist. If you haven't listened to last week's show, I still recommend you go back and do so, because I'm not going to go nearly as in-depth as what I'm just lightly covering here today. But I want to transition this in. Last week we talked about, does God want you to be rich? And my answer was, no, he doesn't. God does not want you to be rich. It's just like any good parent. Why would any good parent want to just spoil their children with lots of stuff, right? Now, those of us are parents. I'm a parent of five children, with my wife and I. With my own experience of being a parent is, I don't want my kids to be rich, spoiled brats, to put it simply. I don't want them to be that way. I want them to learn. I want them to grow. I want them to be able to be good stewards of that money and be good stewards of what they're given, so they take responsibility for it. They're willing to take care of it and use it wisely. Now, if us as parents want that same thing for our children, and all of us are definitely flawed in so many different ways, why would not a perfect God, a perfect Father in heaven, why would he not want the same thing for his children too on this earth? And so, no, he doesn't want us to be rich just for the sake of being rich, but he does want us to grow. He does want us to use it wisely. And like I said last week, you can never bless a wise steward with too much money because they'll always know how to best use it. And we talked about a lot of examples, even just ways of how that's to look, how we'll talk about it here in coming weeks, especially with next week's show and everything else. We'll talk about how that really applies, even to things with money and even with the financial strategies that are taught today. You realize that most of the strategies taught are really anti-stewardship. They're very much, really against what is taught what's taught in many things, whether it be Jewish or Christian scriptures or whatever it might be. And no matter what your religious affiliation is here, I'm definitely of a Christian faith, but, if your affiliation is different, that's fine. If you have no affiliation, that's fine too. All of us have a belief system. All of us have adopted a certain culture or certain beliefs throughout our life about money. And so, whether you know it or not, you've probably been influenced by, especially those listening to the show, probably been influenced by Western culture to a way where there's been a lot of Christian things taught, a lot of Christian culture, not necessarily Christian doctrine, but Christian culture that's believed a certain myth. And when I say that, I mean that there's doctrine, which is things that God teaches, and then there's things that men interpret or teach themselves, sometimes for their own gain, and sometimes just because they want to rationalize and excuse themselves in so many ways. So anyways, that's kind of what we talked about last week, and also in the coming weeks too. So definitely make sure you tune in the next few weeks because we're going to keep this conversation going. So today I specifically want to address what's going on with the belief systems, especially around money and how we're taught and trained in certain regards. Many of us have heard different things about, money being referred to in Christian scriptures, like in the Bible, as being referred to as filthy lucre, right? Those that lust after wealth, right? They're covetousness. People want to covet things from people. You know, definitely we're not talking about that virtue of money. That's definitely a bad way to look at and use money. Remember, in the scarcity mentality, money has value and people do not. In fact, people are just a tool to get more money in that scarcity mentality. And that scarcity mentality, you're either a spender or a saver typically. Either you just go and blow money, and it's easy come, easy go, or you tend to save and hoard that money in hopes that it's gonna, you know, that you're gonna accumulate more, but what you realize that you can never hoard or save enough. You know, even if you pay off all your debt, you have to keep saving, and even if you keep saving, it's never enough. And this becomes this unquenchable appetite for money. And really, money is meant to be used. Money has a purpose. It's got to have a real purpose to be used. Unfortunately, some people do use it for bad, but there's a lot of people who use it for good. And so you hear this a lot where people will interpret, you know, especially in Christian scriptures, and this is what I'm referencing mostly because this is what I'm coming from. But many people in Christian culture will say that, you know, it's almost a virtue to be poor. It's a virtue to be poor. And it's primarily those people that are dishonest, those people that are just lovers of money. You know, people talk about the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, if you go by the literal words in the Bible about money, they say the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, some people get that. I know that's been addressed a lot by many people. Some people just think it's money is the root of all evil, and we all know that's not true, because money is not. It can't be evil. It's an inanimate object. Only people can be evil, right? And only people can be good. Money's not good either. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And I want to talk about that one specifically, as well as a few others that we've adopted. And I know this one could go on for hours because it's been so ingrained in our culture that you turn on the TV, you know, it's amazing. They've even seen over the last several decades, especially since the 1960s, more and more and more is it being depicted in TV that people, that a lot of times the villains that you see on TV aren't necessarily like mafia members as much as they are as people that are seeking after money. And if they are mafia members, they're usually businessmen that are seeking after more money. So it's usually some rich business person that's being evil. You know, very, very few times you might see a few of them that aren't. You know, like, you know, if you think about Batman, for example, Batman is a wealthy man that uses his wealth to be able to do what he needs to do to protect Gotham City, right? You know, so you get a few of those stories out there where you see rich people doing something good, where they're willing to sacrifice and use themselves in a way to serve other people. Even like It's a Wonderful Life, think about it. I mean, Jimmy Stewart's character, remember, he was the banker. I mean, how often do you see bankers being depicted as good guys, right? It doesn't happen too often. You know, but he was depicted as a guy that was loved by the community. But nowadays, you see, it's usually money that corrupts, right? You know, money corrupts people. You know, you'll hear people say that. You know, here's one thing I'll have to tell you, is that money is the magnifier of your soul. Money only makes you more who you already are. If you fear having more money, then I would fear about who you really are. That's the thing I'd fear. If you really are a benevolent person inside and out, then you're going to use that money for good. If you're a good steward, even over a little bit of money, it's amazing what you can do with a lot. If you're a person that does become corrupt when they have more money, it's probably because you were already corrupt in the first place. Money doesn't actually make you good or evil. Money just allows you to express it more easily. Money is only an expression of your soul. I've had a few people tell me as I met with clients, they'll say, you know, I really don't want to have my kids inherit money because I don't want to corrupt them. And I think I have to kind of be a little bit bold and blunt with those people and say, listen, if that's the case, they were already corrupted, and potentially who's to blame? Now, obviously, kids are responsible for their own lives, but if you're afraid of corrupting them, what did you teach them? What did you teach them about money that might have caused you that fear? So I would actually encourage you, starting today, to start undo that kind of teaching. Because money can only be used, it can be used for good or bad. It just depends on who's using it. And this is why I say that we've got to be good stewards. God does not want us to be rich unless we can be wise stewards of what we're given. And so if you think about it, in our culture, it's just horribly prevalent that rich people are evil and poor people are good. In fact, you ever see the movie Titanic? Isn't it kind of funny how, you know, the rich people are the ones that are always miserable And that's the poor people that are down in the lower decks that are dancing and singing and so happy because, you know, money doesn't corrupt them, right? I'm here to tell you that that's not reality. It started a lot of times in the media. It started on TV and things like that because people want to make a villain. This has happened for ages. If you think about it, a lot of times it was the monarchs and people that had wealth that people would view as being evil or oppressors, because in a scarcity mentality, you believe that there's only so much of the pie to go around. So if someone's wealthier, you somehow lose out because there's only so much of the pie. There's only so many resources, so much money. This is still commonly taught today, by the way. So they believe like, oh, there's only so much of the resources. If they've got all the resources, nobody else has any, and those people are being oppressed. On the flip side, you know, those benevolent or virtuous people, and this is what I used to think myself, was that if I just took less money, if I just made less, or if I just I didn't try to make too much money, then, you know, especially in business transactions, then people would win. You know, hey, I'll cut down my fees so that you can win. You know, what's funny is that I've actually realized through my own experiences that a lot of times as I've increased my fees, people win better. People have a better result. People end up becoming better stewards along the way. And that's a whole other show in and of itself. But I'm telling you that, you know, it's not virtuous to be poor. In fact, God has a very hard time using a broke servant. And I want you to think of it that from that perspective, is that if God really wants you to be able to serve his sons and daughters, to serve your brothers and sisters, is he going to be able to do it through someone who has no money and has felt trapped in the rat race day after day, that has to work and work and work, have no real time to be able to serve a lot of people because they're so busy trying to make money? Or in that scarcity mentality, if you're a saver, even trying to save enough money, or if you're a spender trying to blow enough money, can he really use you as a servant that easily? Versus those that create a lot of wealth, have their own have financial freedom, they have their financial lives in order, and they're willing to be able to use that money in a way that serves others. Who do you think that God's going to be able to use better? See, I believe it's virtuous, and in fact, it's our calling and our duty to have more money. In fact, it's our calling and duty not just to have it or accumulate it, but to use it, to be able to use it as stewards, to be able to increase and beautify the things around us. We're here to make this world better. We're here to make it better than the way we came into it, not to just think that somehow, you know, we're just going to kind of live and then die. You know, I believe that we're here to leave a legacy and to live a legacy. I believe that we're here to truly serve people, to be able to make their lives better with all of our resources, not just our money, but with our time and our talents, with all those gifts and abilities we've been given, with our passions and with our physical strength and our mental abilities and our spiritual abilities, all of these things, and with our lives and the examples and the experiences that we have, all these things to be used in the service of other people. Money is just one of those expressions that make that happen. Again, it's a magnifier of our souls. It allows us to express more easily what we want. And I've seen so often that many people will say, well, it's better to be poor. Or you hear this in the Bible. People say that it's easier for, oh my goodness, I'm misquoting it. I should have had it out. But basically, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Who's ever heard that before, right? It's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for the camel to get through an eye of a needle. Now, many people I've noticed interpreted the eye of a needle as being like a needle, like a needle and thread, right? And obviously a camel cannot get through an eye of a needle. Even if it was bigger, it would be impossible, right? So people start interpreting saying, oh, well, it's impossible for a rich man to get to heaven. But what they didn't realize is that the eye of a needle is actually a physical place. It's a location. In fact, it is like a rock formation. And to get through it, the camels actually have to get on their knees and crawl through, representing that we have to get on our knees as well and humble ourselves before God if we're going to be rich. We got to be willing to use it and not let our pride take over, not let our own ego and believing that we're better than other people if we have more money take over. Now, I'll tell you, it's interesting. I've come from the mentality where poor people are benevolent and rich people are evil. I was raised that way. I was raised that people that own businesses are evil. In fact, I was just at a dinner last night where one of the guests there, you know, we're talking about, you know, somebody working for the government. Somebody joked that said, "Oh yeah, the government's really, yeah, that's a really good place to work for." And then the other person said, "Well, our other option is just to work for rich people," like it was a bad thing. I'm thinking, yes, yeah, those rich people that make sure you have a job. You know, what would you do without those rich people that increase their stewardship and provide all those jobs for you? Oh, it was so hard not to bring that up, as you can imagine. It just wasn't the right timing or place. But I realized that there was kind of a very serendipitous conversation happening right before I have this type of interview, this radio show, because it's amazing to think that that's what people believe is, well, you either work for the government who's evil, or you can work for corporations and rich people who are evil, is what they're saying. People that just exploit people. I'm telling you that you make conscious decisions and choices. You work for a wage because you believe you're worth less than that wage. I think I brought that up in a previous show, you know, several weeks back. But you only accept a wage if you believe you're worth a little bit less than that wage. You would never work for a wage that you didn't believe where you were worth more. You would never work for that wage. I would never want to work for like $5 or $10 or probably even $15 an hour. I know, because I remember looking at that several years back when I was going through hard times, and every one of them has said, to heck with that, I can make more money in my business. Stop getting distracted and focus on your business. And I did, and it paid off way more than $15 an hour. You know, those kind of things are just the things that people get caught up in. And we somehow believe that's evil, but I'll tell you that, you know, especially if you're a business owner, you're listening to this right now, you have a very solemn, you have a very serious responsibility to not only prosper yourself, but to allow others to prosper with you. But I think it's such a great thing when you can see people prosper, when you see people becoming wealthier. Whether you own a business or not, the fact remains is that you can do more good when you're creating more money. And let's go back to the principles we talk about. How do we create more money? How do we make more money? Well, it's easy. It's by providing a value or service that people want, a product, value, or service that people want. Somehow you have to serve them in a way that they want to give up those dollars because they believe those dollars are worth less than whatever you're offering them. If you're getting a wage at work, it's amazing how you might think that you get a wage at work and you say, well, gee, like, you know, I'm better off. I'm a better person than the people I work for. Well, the thing is that you're still have a business. Even if you're an intrapreneur rather than an entrepreneur, you're still in business for yourself. Your job is to do an honest, good day's labor, no matter where you're at. Like, an honest, good day's labor or work does not necessarily mean that it has to be hard physical work. It can be mental. It can be spiritual nature. There's all kinds of ways to do that. But ultimately, it comes down to how you serve people. How do we serve somebody? How do we create that value for someone in such a way that they want to exchange dollars for that value? The person hires you because they believe that your service is worth more than what they pay you, or otherwise it wouldn't be worth paying you or hiring you. You know, I love the fact that my business, the bigger it gets, the more people I have to hire. Other people prosper more when I have a business, especially when it's a successful business. I do nobody any good if I'm not prosperous, if I'm not making money myself. And then I notice that if I want to play a bigger game, if I want my business to get bigger, I mean, it'd be so easy for me to become self-employed, to be a solopreneur, to where I can just go and bring on one or two new clients a month and live a very nice lifestyle. But I know that, one, I want to serve more than one or two people a month. And two, I know, too, that if in order for me to really truly make the impact in the world and that ripple effect in the world that I want to do, same reason why I do these radio shows, I'm not charging money for them because I want to add that value to your lives in a way that creates influence and that ripple effect, which is why I call them the company money ripples, right? I want that to be the case where I can create that ripple effect throughout your lives, into your family's lives, into communities, and also into your countries that you're in. That's my whole focus. I know that if I do that, that yes, money's going to follow. That's just a natural byproduct. I don't have to go and be sleazy about it. I don't have to be dishonest. You don't have to do any of those things. And neither in your work either. You don't have to be dishonest to make money. In fact, it's dishonest people that go out of business the fastest. No one wants to buy from a dishonest person, and no one wants to work for a dishonest person. Maybe I shouldn't say no one. That's probably overgeneralized. But very, very few people in this world want to do that. It's very hard to prosper as a dishonest person. The rich people you see, I would say that at least 95% of them, if not more, are very good, honest people that are out there making a difference. Sure, there's the exceptions, and the media loves to exploit that fact. But I bet you, if you look at most rich people's lives, and those of you that know rich people know this to be true, that some of the most benevolent and nice and amazing people that have a heart of gold, that are serving people like crazy, are wealthy. The sad thing is that many times, because there are people that still feel guilty about having wealth, and this is something I've experienced too, that they give it away to people that maybe don't necessarily deserve it. You know, now I'm not talking about, you know, you shouldn't give away to charities. I'm not saying that. But a lot of times people feel guilty about having more money because of that image that's taught in the media, it's taught in on TV and entertainment and everywhere, just in normal conversation nowadays, that people that are rich are evil. But most people don't realize that even in history, people that had that were oftentimes the wealthiest were sometimes the best servants, the people that are able to go and be able to make a better difference. In fact, think of our founding fathers. Many of them were wealthy. They might have been broke for a time, but there were some very wealthy men that were our founding fathers that made a tremendous impact in our lives even hundreds of years later. So why would you think, why would you even fathom that people that are making lots of money would be evil? And that somehow money is evil. Money, again, is just a tool. In fact, it's temporary. It doesn't even go with us to heaven. But what does go with us is how we look at money, how we used it while we were alive. How are we accountable and how are we stewards of that? Were we people that said, I'm going to purposely be broke and therefore withdraw value from the world because I thought it was benevolent to be broke? I'm telling you, it's not benevolent to be broke or to be in poverty. That is not a good thing. To be, by the way, people that are oftentimes impoverished think a lot about, more about money than people with money. People with money oftentimes don't even think about money as much anymore. They can think about what they can do with it. People that don't have money are constantly obsessing over it. So if money were the root of all evil, why do poor people worry about it so often? Why do they keep obsessing over it? Why do they keep thinking that somehow that's a good thing when people that are oftentimes wealthy that think less about it somehow are now evil? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make common sense at all. Now, I want you to really go through this week. I want you to and really ask yourselves, you know, what do you believe about money? What are some of the things that you've been taught that you've bought into? You know, think back to what your parents have taught you or friends or whoever else. Are you buying into myths that probably right now, whether you know it or not, consciously or not, is probably limiting you from being able to have more money? Because you believe somehow that having more money is a bad thing. Or maybe having more money creates more responsibility and you're afraid of that extra stewardship. There's all kinds of reasons that you might be keeping yourself from making more money because of that. I'm here to tell you that love is not all about money. It is about love and how we love each other. Love is truly the grandest thing on earth. And those that do love people find ways to create and make more money. And they use that money for good, not for harm. That's the thing, is that God loves to put money in the hands of good men and women. See how you'll use it. By the way, God doesn't need money. He has more than enough of it. He doesn't need, he controls everything in the universe. He created these things. Why do you think he has money as being a part of it? Sure, it's man-made, but I really do believe that money and the concept of it, which is exchanging value for things of greater value, which is what money's been used as a serve for, as a medium of exchange, a currency, I believe that's divine. The thing behind money, not money itself, but what's behind money is divine. What creates money is what's divine, not the money itself. So just having more money does not make you more benevolent either. But it's how you use it, how you even create it in the first place, is where the true benevolence comes in. And that's when you start to realize, are you really living what God wants you to do? Now, two great books. I don't know if I shared this with you or not. I don't think I have. Two great books on this subject I would ask you to study this week is one is a great small tiny book. It's actually a speech given by Russell Conwell. He's the founder of Temple University. It's a book called Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds, such a fantastic book. Some of you might have heard the story before, but the speech that he gives is incredible. Very good one. I recommend it. And then the second book that I'm currently reading right now myself is called Thou Shalt Prosper. Thou Shalt Prosper, which is by Rabbi Daniel Lappin. Rabbi Daniel Lappin. If you look up Thou Shalt Prosper, that's Thou Shalt Prosper. You'll find that book in there. great, fantastic book. And in fact, it's talking about the Jewish way of making money and how they view wealth and money and why Jewish people tend to go into finance and banking, into those very professions that most people think are evil, ironically enough. And they actually talk about how it's such a great thing, and even about how debt can actually be good, which I think is interesting because it forwards by Dave Ramsey. You know, but, you know, hey, that's kind of cool. But really, really good, good reads there. So I would recommend Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, as well as Thou Shalt Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lappin. So anyways, I know we're wrapping up here in the final seconds of the show. I know we can go on this subject for so long, and I know it's going to come back up again. But I just want to tell you that, again, that, you know, God doesn't want you just to be rich just for the sake of being rich. It's not about just making money. It's about who we serve along the way. How do we create our lives to be more prosperous and better, and how do we help other people prosper as well? How do we uplift and edify and strengthen our brothers and sisters? That is the true plan of our God and our Heavenly Father. That is how wealth is made. Wealth is actually made by living Christian principles, not by working against them. This is Chris Miles here. Like I mentioned, I'm the cash flow expert, and I am the financial entrepreneur, telling you to live and love your life to be able to live prosperously today and in the future. We'll see you later.